Is that how you got your husband? You just shifted your way towards him and he was done? And you're
just
like,
imagine
Colin,
if it was that easy. Like, just shift, shift.
Your hands on your butter. Hip. A come hither
Boom,
look. Because those hips don't lie.
Lucy, I'm home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball podcast. I'm your host, Siva.
And I'm your co-host, Erica.
And today we're talking about Lucy Plays Cupid. This is the 15th episode of season one. It aired on January 21st, 1952. It's directed by Mark Daniels, written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll Jr. It was filmed December 13th, 1951. It's a fun episode to an extent. We'll talk
fun.
About we'll talk about why there was a little bit of a pause there.
Yeah.
But now everything, if you look it up, it's like the spinster neighbor, which really is just
spinster.
Supposed to be like the elderly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The elderly single neighbor, Miss Lewis, thinks the eccentric grocer, Mr. Ritter, is the bee's knees, as she puts it, just the best. And she's got a bit of a crush on him, a bit. And
yeah.
So she asks Lucy to give him a letter that she's written and invite him to dinner. And so, of course, she doesn't sign the card and everyone there's just a bunch of miscommunication and, you know, it all goes awry with this episode. And so this episode is actually based off of Valentine's Day from My Favorite Husband that aired February 11th, 1949. In that episode, Mr. Ritter was the butcher and Miss Lewis was played by Katie, the maid. And before we start, I do want to let you all know that the woman who played Mrs. Lewis played Iris Atterbury on My Favorite Husband, which is pretty cool. And she also, we're just going to say, is only like 4 years older, I think, than Lucy.
Yeah.
I think that's how old she was, 44 at the time.
Which is, she was maybe like 46 or 47.
Yeah, she was not that much older.
No.
And I think you can tell, like, they tried to put her in frumpier clothes and stuff, but like, there's just moments where you can tell that she's really not that old. But
yeah.
Maybe we're jumping ahead of ourselves. So
of course, we're speaking of the actress,
Bernadette.
Yes. Yeah. Bernadette is, you know, she did have a history with Lucy, like you mentioned on My Favorite Husband, and tons of radio work before that. I mean, just an extensive career before and after her appearance on I Love Lucy.
Yes. And she was actually a front runner, like the who Lucy really wanted to cast for Ethel Mertz, but she was already playing in a different show in a pretty similar character as well. Like she would be doing basically the same type of thing in a TV show called The George Byrne and Grace Allen Show. Have you watched that?
I have not. Yeah, right. She was on there. You know, what's interesting though, is much like when you hear of certain movies that another actor, you know, turned away or said no to, turn down. And you think, oh, I wonder what that movie would have looked like if that particular actor or actress had taken it. Our mind is so conformed to Vivian Vance being Ethel Mertz, so we can't imagine anybody else being in the role. I just wonder what she would be like, only because she was so great with voices, you know. I don't know if that would play a part with a lot of voiceover work she did. I just wonder what that would have looked like had it been her.
And also,
Ethel.
Of course, we don't see her in her, you know, she's all dressed up to be this spinster, right?
Yeah.
So like we don't see what she would have been if she was playing Vivian Vance.
Okay,
Vivian, I did write it down.
And William don't appear in this episode.
Right, not in this episode.
Mm-mm.
So I'm guessing probably still.
Well, see, this
baseball?
Is the.
Is it baseball?
No,
it baseball?
Well, it could have been, but all,
it's
also
in the story.
Season one, they were trying to do a lot of Lucy and Desi, Lucy and Ricky, to see how they play together with guest stars. They didn't realize how much of an integral part these two neighbors would be until maybe around season two or so. Then it's like, have them in every episode.
Yeah.
Okay, so it opens up.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
I didn't write it down. She was 46 at the
46?
time. 46? She was playing this. So, I mean, not necessarily. She was 6 years older. And before we moved on, she she also played Betty Rubble in the Flintstones, which I love, and Pearl in the Beverly Hillbillies, which we have to do a spotlight on just because, and because she's on it. So this is, you know, we were talking about how I wanted to do like shows that our guest stars were on. This is the only episode of I Love Lucy that she's in. So I feel like we have a right to now do a spotlight on the Beverly Hillbillies, which is just such a fun show.
So stick around to 2024 and we'll be doing a spotlight.
She was also in Petticoat Junction, which was also a very good show. But anyways,
with just her alone, I mean, if we're not gonna leave her just yet, she was credited with over 1,000 combined radio and television appearances, which is crazy. They nicknamed her the Busy Bee, you know, B-E-A, Preston. Okay, so as we go on, it starts with Lucy's in the kitchen. She's either, at first I thought she was cutting potatoes, but no, it looks like she's squeezing orange juice. Yeah.
Does anyone ever do that anymore?
I used to do that as a kid. Yes. My dad had one of those machines and we would just go on and on with the oranges because I like pulp in my juice.
Okay.
So yeah, you're right. People don't do that.
I used to do it at work when people ordered like fresh smoothie juices and stuff.
Yeah.
And like we have one. I'm pretty sure we have like one of the little handheld ones that just has the
It's just like a plastic one
that you just I'm pretty sure we have one of those somewhere downstairs, but like we don't do that. I just use store bought juices.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. But
so much easier. But yeah it that's is what good. She's doing.
And so she's it's making a lot of noise, and then Miss Lewis comes in. Real shy, real quiet, and then waits her turn to
she just help herself to coffee, though. Or does Lucy say help?
No, she remember. I know. I think she just helps herself to coffee.
That's nice.
Yeah. And then we never see her again. And so she said, is there something that you want to talk about? Because she seems like she's got something on her mind, but isn't quite comfortable with saying it just yet because she's very shy. And then of course she wants to talk about a man. But a man, she likes Mr. Ritter, the grocery man, because he's the bee's knees. We don't use those phrases enough anymore, Ziva.
We should start. We'll bring it back.
He's the cat's pajamas.
That's another one
he says.
So, and then of course Lucy's laughing and she's like, I'm not used to thinking of you in that way or whatever. And the best line is just because there's no snow on the roof doesn't mean there's no fire in the furnace. Or just because there is snow on the roof, I'm sorry. If you want to talk science, women reach that fire age later, so there might talk be it, snow Ziva. On the roof. Might be.
Oh, that's funny. And so of course she says, oh, here's this big romance going on and I had no idea. Of course she's like, no, it's just me having a massive crush.
She's been having this crush for 5 years. It's a long time to have a crush on someone.
A blowtorch
before
before
we move on, what is around her waist? Do you notice this? And do you know what it is?
Miss Lewis or Lucy?
Miss Lewis. Yeah, there's these like silver things dangling off her waist. If you go to Paper Moon Loves Lucy, it's at the very top. There's that first picture. There's like something.
Yes, it does. It looks like some sort of
Was like, are they spoons? Like are they pocket watches? Like,
It may be just keys, or maybe I don't know, because she also has this kind of leathery looking belt that's wrapped around her waist and that's holding papers, and that's where she's holding the letter that she has. Or perhaps it's just placed there so she can grab it for this particular scene. Who knows what that is? But
I don't know. It was weird to me. Also, we bring back the flying toaster.
Yes.
And maybe just
like hers.
A baseball. Like,
yeah, yeah.
You get a workout every morning.
It just flies in the air. Oh, man. And so she's, she's real shy telling her that she has this crush, and she's trying to seduce him, you know, essentially. So she's trying to invite him over for dinner. And so she wants Lucy to hand Mr. Ritter, the grocery man, this letter, so he'll come by to see her and I guess eventually fall in love with her or something. So, you know, she says that she will, Lucy does. And then Ricky comes in and the cringe begins.
Yeah, I was going to say it already starts like right away. He already is like, okay, give me the note.
Yeah, so he says, you know, what's that about?
Saying, yeah. So he's already like, no, this is not okay. And I mean, we talk about this because we think that it's of the time. And then, so we'll have to remember that. I'm still going to kind of jump up on my soapbox yeah. a little bit. But we'll remember that it's of the time. And it's also based off of a show that was even done a few years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to that show, there are a few times where like,
cringe.
It's surprising, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Where he's like, I thought I told you were done thinking. Like there was a moment where she was superstitious, and basically he was like, I decided for you, and we decided yeah, yeah. that I was right. And I was
yeah.
like, you can't yeah. change someone's thinking just because you've decided.
Because the man decided. And right. so here, you know, she's very excited about helping this sweet old lady, you know, find love. And so he's telling her that she cannot. He's, you know, against it. He's trying to get her married. And Ricky is like, well, yeah. you know, if he's made it to this age without getting married, why ruin it now? You know,
right. And then he kind of
tries to, you know, clean it up a bit.
Plays it black. Yeah. He's like, I could have been clever enough, but I decided to play dumb. Ugh, okay.
Oh my God.
But so they had this like cute little talk, and then she's like, all right, well, it's settled then. I'll give him the note.
Right.
And he's like, no, it's settled.
You won't do any of the kind. And so he grabs her.
Says she's acting like a child. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Which like, she was not.
She wants to help. She yeah. There are times where she does act like a child.
Yeah. This was not one of them.
This was not one of them. She's just wanting to help a friend. Like if one of my friends, I don't know that I would feel comfortable giving someone else a note that, you know, of a professed love, but like she's just trying to be a friend. And right.
So then of course the cringe that I think we can all unanimously say is very cringy is when he puts her over his knee and starts to spank her. And he's not just spanking her, but I wrote it down here where he says, are you gonna do what I say? Is that, you know, it's cringy, it's uncomfortable to watch. She's crying, but not because, not a natural cry, more of a like stop it cry, you know, no tears or anything, more like a yell, like stop it, you know. And
right, but then we've got all that, and then in the next scene, and I know this is supposed to be funny, but she talks about how she can't sit down, which
that, and she rubs her the like, side of her butt. She, because it means her butt still hurting from spanking.
But if you can't actually, like, if you're feeling like you can't sit down, then we've talked about, like, how hard he was hitting you. I know, Erica, you and I were talking at the beginning before we started recording that there's some episodes where we kind of just forget we, like, dislike a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this isn't on my list where I would automatically say, I hate this one. You know, that's not what I'm saying, but there are definitely, you watch it and you go, oh yeah. Yeah. I've got problems.
And there's more to it too. Later on when we do the dinner with Mr. Ritter, there's more of it. That's just more cringe upon
even
cringe
before the dinner. Oh yeah. Okay. So, she goes down and she's going to tell Ms. Lewis, I'm sorry. You know, I can't.
Yeah. Can't help you.
I can't help you do what you want. And of course, Ms. Lewis is just being cute. And she's, you know, I was going to wear my good dress, but it's in the lock box. And the lock.
She has elderberry wine that she's had since she was 21 years old.
Yeah. 21, that must have a tang by now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say so. the line where she holds up the candles. And she's like, they say they, you know,
takes off five. It makes you look younger. Yeah.
You know, she's like, well, it could be a woman of 50 again. And Lucy goes easily, and I think that's just funny because she wasn't even
near 50. So she's like, oh, you're sweet, you're awfully sweet.
But anyways, okay, so Mr. Ritter comes in and
to deliver the groceries.
Oh, before we move on the show, this is kind of a deep dive. It's not really, but for any of our younger listeners, and really people that, because this isn't even something that normally happens now. I mean, nowadays we've got, you know, DoorDash and stuff, mm-hmm. but before, you know, they would have grocery people. They'd have one store that would
provide groceries
for the local community, mm-hmm. basically just one store that would have enough. And so you would have to call up, which is like an introvert's nightmare because I hate calling people. I do. It's something I really dislike. You would call up, you tell the grocer what you want, and then they would deliver mm-hmm. once or twice a week. You know, Miss Lewis says that she is just a bag of groceries twice a week. So you see there's more than once a week is possible. And then you just pay them when they come and drop off the groceries. And so that is how groceries used to work. And that, you know, so you could go into the store or they just deliver, which was really easily.
Kind of like the milkman.
Deliveries kind of stopped, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like more of a, and now deliveries are kind of coming.
Now it's just natural again.
Circle, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, right? You're right.
Definitely with the COVID, you know, we had deliveries of food, like fast foods and things like that. Mm-hmm. But now you even have the option to get delivered from your grocery store.
Oh, right, yes, of course. And yeah.
And so I feel like it's kind of come full circle, except now people have so many options of places,
mm-hmm.
right, to go to eat from where, or to order from, whereas at that time, like we said, it'd just be about one local grocery store.
And so Mr. Ritter is played by Edward Everett Horton, who had a very extensive career before even being on I Love Lucy. And if you notice, as soon as he walked in, the audience kind of did an applause for him, mm-hmm. which not very many guest stars get. And so like Bill Frawley, he got his start in vaudeville as well and made his Broadway debut in 1910 and started doing films in 1922, eventually appearing in three movies with Lucille Ball, including 1935's Top Hat. I love Top Hat. That's such a great movie. And he made his small screen debut in 1949, playing Sheridan Whiteside in a TV version of Broadway's The Man Who Came to Dinner. So he had quite a bit of movies under his belt before even making that appearance, which is why at the end of the episode, you know, they just say Benaderet was Miss Lewis, but they do like a special thanks to to Edward Everett Horton for his appearance, you know. So it was like we'd like to give a special thanks to Mr. Edward Everett Horton for appearing with us tonight, which is a very odd way of just saying who the actor was. Just stands out.
Yeah. And so if we think about that, I mean, I feel like there's a Miss Lewis B also was well known, but she was more well known for radio.
Yes.
And voice. So it wasn't, her face wasn't as well known,
mm-hmm.
I guess. So it was a different type of shout out. Like he had a bigger shout out because he was more well known in the
entertainment business, TV, the movies.
Yes, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Okay, so he walks in. We've got him walking in and he drops off the groceries. And you can kind of see Lucy struggling, right, to decide if she's going to. And as he's walking away, she finally says, okay, I have to tell you something. This is where I start having a problem, right? Because
it's so uncomfortable.
Someone thinks that, or like thinks he's really nice or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had it written down. and all of a sudden you see it, like it clicks and he's like, oh.
Yeah.
And he's like on her, you know? And so like, they have this whole conversation. She's trying to explain, like, it's not me, it's Miss Lewis, and gives him the letter. And of course it just says from your secret admirer, secret lover.
One thing about Lucy Ricardo, she makes men fall in love very fast, just like Jean Valjean Raymond. And now we have Mr. Ritter just madly in love with just over a day.
The time of sign of the times. Like, you know, you just see a woman, you're like, boom, okay, married.
I must love her.
Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, she's, you'd think she could just spit it out and just say, you know, but of course it wouldn't make for a funny episode, you know? And so he's convinced that Lucy wants him to come over to dinner for her and him to have a date, even though she's married and he knows that. Still not a big deal. He's still going to show up.
But she does say that it was Miss Lewis. Like, it was her. Like, she says this. She's like, no.
You don't have to play coy with me.
Right? And so he's just not listening.
He's not listening.
That moment where he's like leaning up against. That is such a dominant move.
Yes. You know, there's
I think it's really cute.
No, it's not. There's a still that I saw on the website that on Paper Moon that. The look on her face is very like, you know, scared or get away from me or, you know, hashtag me too. But he's right. Just over her.
We're not even trying to be extra right now. Like, I feel uncomfortable if there is not a way for me to get away. Mm-hmm. So like if a man's leaning up against, that's just not. So you either have to push the man away or you have to stand there and just be okay with it. And that is at the point where she's at, you know, and that just bothers me. Like, that's such a dominant move. And so, and he is so quick.
And like you said,
all right,
the sign of the times allows for that to happen. Mm-hmm. Now I know that can happen at any time, any generation, but I'm saying more so then she wasn't about to, you know, kick him, you know, in the private parts and try to run away. She's no, she's just trying to be like, it's still a lady, but at the same time, you know, say you have it all wrong. So it's nice to kind of go over this with 2021 eyes to see what was accepted and what was considered funny back then.
You know? Right. And I don't think either one of us are really, we're not bashing the show because at that time it wasn't fine, but it was just what it was.
Yeah.
So we're not saying, we're just pointing out that looking through our 2021 lenses, mm-hmm. we see problems.
It's uncomfortable. So, it's really uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yes. So that whole scene ends, right? And you see Lucy's upstairs now and Miss Lewis comes back. She's been walking around. She ran around the track 5 times.
She said she was hysterical when she found out that, you know, he misunderstood and took her for the date. She's just been running in circles. What?
In my favorite husband episode, there's actually, they're both redheads, the maid and her. And so it's signed, you know, your favorite redhead or something like, not my favorite, but you know, something with the red hair. And so he says,
that's the confusion.
Yeah, exactly. but anyways, so Lucy's like, all right, you have to just not get him to come up. Because apparently he is okay with Ricky being there and wants to profess their love and say that they should get divorced.
Yeah. He's okay with the fact that she's fully married and that he can't wait to come up and tell Ricky about their newfound love. And that way they can quickly get a divorce. What?
Right. Don't let him get up the stairs, right? You just have to flirt with him.
Yeah.
And get him to come into your
now. Here's where the flirting comes in. Flirting teachings come in.
I love this. She looks like she's struggling a lot, right?
Although, you know, for someone who's only 46, she sure did play like a 70 something year old or 80 something year old lady. So Lucy's trying to teach her. Because, of course, the illusion is that Lucy's like this young, you know, girl who's, you know, very well put together to do she could still do the flirty thing and get away with it where she's like, oh yes, that's all fine for you, but I'm a little rusty, you know, I have a rusty transmitter. And so she tells her how to shift her hips. Now this is such a 50s thing, way of flirting. I mean, do we flirt like that now? Is that how you got your husband? You just shifted your way towards him and he was done? You're like,
imagine
Colin,
if it was that easy. Like, just shift.
Your hands on your hip. I come hither, boom, look. Didn't know what hit him. It was your hips, apparently. Because those hips don't lie. Sorry. No. So, yeah, so she's trying to tell her to shift her hips. She can't do it because old. And so yeah. She's...
She tries the come hither look, right?
Which is like batting your lashes.
And she looks like she's having a
stroke.
I'm like,
are you okay? What's the matter? Are you all right? That was my come hither look.
Come hither look.
Oh, no.
And so then Lucy's like, well, then she gets a call from Ricky.
From Ricky. Conveniently.
And Ricky's like, yeah, conveniently saying that he can't come.
Yeah.
And did you like how he just pulled the cigarette out of the...
I mean,
there was even a cigarette there, and
the
then
product placement was strong the first season of I Love Lucy, because Philip Morris was front and center, and during Ricky's payphone call, you know, presumably from like a drugstore or something, he stands next to
Philip Morris boy, right?
Yeah, the Johnny the bellhop. It was Johnny the bellhop, and yeah, you're right. This random cutout on the wall is holding a real cigarette that he just grabs.
He just pulls and starts smoking.
He starts smoking it.
Like, who touched that?
So, you're yeah.
Okay with just picking that up?
Now, if I'm mistaken, or in the syndicated version on television, they cut out a piece of that marketing part.
See, they did start doing that. Mm-hmm. There was that one episode we talked about earlier where they cut out...
Oh yes, when they as well divide the rooms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they could have. I'm not entirely sure if they did or not. So she gets the call and she's like, you know what? That's perfect.
Yeah, I'm he's like coming home. I'll stay. Yeah.
Okay. I was like, oh, whiny. She's like, you can't. He's mine. I'm like,
mine. A little possessive there, like Miss Lewis.
Yeah, Miss Lewis. Okay, so.
Now, here's the thing. I know my Ziva, I know where she, you know, just threw the whole phone away as she was writing notes is when she's, you know, tell me a little about Mr. Ritter, because I want to essentially turn him off. So that way he's attracted to you. And, you know, there's no way he'd want me. So, of course, Miss Lewis gives the description of how demanding this Mr. Ritter is. I still have yet to see any attractive traits that she sees in this man.
Right.
He can't stand children. He likes a tidy appearance. He likes immaculate housekeeping and good cooking. Wow. And so of course, wow. I mean, and then he walks in looking less than put together, so he's one to demand all these things.
Have your own thoughts and ideas, but you see, you know, like there's these Tinder fails and things like that where you see basically people posting like that where like, you must be a good cook, you must be over 5'9", you must be under this weight. Mm-hmm. I was like, is that's what matters to you then? Like, I don't know. There's just,
it's the demand of it all.
Off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like off the,
see, you can't help. Like you just mentioned this with Tinder. I'm assuming that you put down information and you're hoping that whoever looks at it matches those things. But I mean, you can put preferences, you know, I'd rather have someone taller than me if possible, you know, or things like that. But if it comes off as demanding, you shouldn't be able to kind of demand what your heart or your mind is going to want. And so this here, when she's saying all these things about him, again, sign of the times. So it's something that would not go very well today. I've yet to find what she is so in love with now, you know.
I mean, she's older, so maybe she's okay with the the no children, and she's already a tidy person. So maybe she's like, oh, I fit those boxes anyways.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't know if I told you this, but I had a man when I was doing the whole like online dating thing that wanted me to quit college and be a stay-at-home mom for him. I was like, first of all, we just started talking. So like I have I'm children sorry. Now in this scenario. And second of all, no, I'm not putting my life on hold to like raise your children. I mean, they would have been our children, but you know, like,
well, the fact
at that point, it would be his yeah. children at right, his right. house, you know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it, I was like, let me just block.
Yeah. No. But the fact that you were only on the online dating part of it, I mean, you're not even like living together, you're not, you know,
right, we were just starting to talk
and all like, okay, this is the thing he's already need. Telling you what he yeah so I mean yeah. It has to be a good match. Like you can't have one a woman who's totally independent and will not be a stay-at-home mom whatsoever, and then there's some women who love that, and I think that's very beneficial to children for the most part. And but you both have to be obviously on the same right. page with that, because otherwise you'll be miserable and you'll end up resenting the other person eventually.
Right. So it has to be something from like your I was a stay-at-home mom for a while, and I even am just a part-time mm-hmm. working, and I stay most of the time at home, and I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I decided.
You chose that.
Not
yeah.
something that Colin was like, you're going to you do must. That.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, okay. So she tells her all these things, and Lucy's like, all right, fine.
I'll do the opposite of all I'll those things.
The exact opposite. I yeah. do want to point out that she didn't go as far out as she usually does. Like the only messy part is the table.
Yeah. I think they got a right? little more creative as the seasons went by. Cause this is still season one. So
right,
all they like, had was like newspapers. Else
is still kind of immaculate, right? Like,
yeah.
The books are still nicely stacked in the back. Like
even her messy look, clean, quote unquote, messy look
clean
was not very messy. Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't, you know, but do better, Lucy. This is why she's like, this is why Mr. Ritter's like, oh, it's fine.
It's yeah, okay. It's not, that's like, not that
I'll,
bad.
I'll do this. So anyways, the appetizer is tomato juice.
Or as Lucille Ball calls it, tomato juice.
Tomato juice.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sure these are probably like prop cans, but like I would be so worried to drink from a can like that with the lid still up.
Just, you know, just cuts. Oh, no. Yeah. No.
Yeah. Lips and mouth. And like I said, I'm sure it was a prop can, so they wouldn't have cut anything. Mm-hmm. But, and I do like how she just kind of starts throwing things.
So she's made like this, you know, date from hell. So eventually he'll just not like any of it and just, you know, run into the waiting arms of Miss Lewis. But that's
it doesn't happen.
It does not happen. You know, she tries to do well. She cooks the way I cook. If I'm being real, her fake cooking is my real cooking. I'm just going to put that out there. So it's a wonder I'm married. I don't know. And so
Colin does most of the cooking for us.
There you go. See, it's, you know, and he's like, it's fine. You don't have to do the cooking. I'll do the cooking, because he's just so enamored with this young lady that he's fallen in love with, that he doesn't care that she's not keeping a nice, tidy house or a good appearance or the cooking. But of course, we hit the part that he can't stand the most: children.
Oh, wait, before we get there, I wanted to ask, what do you think his soup is? Is it like cornstarch or honey?
I don't know, but
thick, right?
Yeah. Like, and also, I think she pours Tabasco sauce in it and he's yeah, just on in the fire. Soup, in the... yeah.
Also, they made a prop mistake, I guess. So they have a product of California.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, I know that normally, like nowadays, that'd be fine because you see a lot of overlap. But at the time, they weren't shipping, you know.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be placed in New York.
In New York. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as bad as the Paris last one, though.
Where they that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, California wine in a French cafe. You know. Also, yeah. I did want to ask, so you know that spray bottle she uses to spray... the flaming.
Oh yes,
rock hard.
Yes, yes, steak.
Steak. Mm-hmm. Is that, was that a real thing? Like, did people have those in their households, or was it just like a gag thing?
Was it a spray? Was it spraying water, or was it like a fire extinguisher type thing?
No, it was water. It's like that one that they used where she's
for the clown. Yes, 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 down yes.
Over the ocean,
right?
Yeah,
I don't the clown know.
And for women are wonderful.
Oh, that's right, fabulous.
Yeah, fabulous. Yeah.
I don't know. It looks very prop-ish. You know, like it's a prop. I don't know why you would have one in your home. I mean, I don't know what it's used for other than for
just spraying people.
Spraying people in faces and steaks. But really, I don't know what you would call that, because it's not really just a spray bottle. It's very
it's forceful.
It's much more violent than your average spray. So I don't know what you would use that for other than perhaps rinsing off somewhere in the garden, but that would still be a little too aggressive for flowers and stuff. I don't know.
Okay. So we get to the children. You were talking about the children that he really disliked.
My favorite, because they just keep coming out. First, she says, you know, keep quiet because you'll wake the children. And the way he describes his children, he really can't stand children.
Lollipop, sticky finger, stealing kids. Yeah. Same. And so they count, 25 he counts?
Yeah.
Because it does that like crossfade.
Right, right.
You can tell time's
he's
going
still,
on.
He's still counting. And she says there's still six that are missing. And what I love that, you know, as these children are, you know, coming out of the bedroom, there's one dressed like a little Ricky Ricardo with a conga drum. Yes. What? this reminds everybody watching Lucy is when she does the Cuban childhood that she's trying to recreate, and all these kids come out of nowhere.
So in this episode, there's 10, there's not 25, there's mm-hmm. 10 uncredited kids that come through that. So the kids come and he's like, you know what? It's okay. She thinks this will really drive him away. Nope.
No, 25 kids is not going to do it. Apparently not. He's still in love.
Oh, and so this is when we cut back down to Ricky, right? Mm-hmm. He's coming in mm-hmm. and Miss Lewis tries to keep him
from going up to the apartment
upstairs by, you know,
come hither, look,
come hither, look. She's like, you're the first man I've flirted with. And I like it.
Jeez.
She says he can't go upstairs until Mr. Ritter's gone. And of course, Ricky finds this hilarious. And I start to find this problematic again. Until he gets upstairs. But he finds it hilarious and he's going to go upstairs. And Mr. Ritter's going to say something like, you know, we're in love. Oh, wait. He's like, what's new? I love this.
Oh, yes, because
Mr. Ritter's like,
he's trying to hug her.
Embrace her. And they kind of like freeze, right? And like, he just comes in and says, what's new? And Lisa's like, what's new?
She's in the arms of another man and he's asking her what's new. And so, you know, Mr. Ritter is now speaking for both of them, saying that they're in love and he has to accept her. And so Ricky says, you can't expect me to keep you all to myself. And, you know, I pass her on to you. And you pass her into waiting arms.
Say something.
Yes.
This is where I have a problem.
I know,
like,
you do.
I know, again, it's just supposed to be funny. But I'm like, oh, she's not a possession.
Just passing her off.
Given away. You know, like, I give you permission to
marry my wife.
Marry my wife. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Also, fight for your wife, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like,
I know that
he's resigned.
He knows, right?
Right?
He knows. So he's playing
a
part, and you mm-hmm. hope and think that he'd probably, if he didn't know, he would come in and be like, yo, you know, that's my wife.
Yeah.
But obviously,
so, yeah, he's not.
He goes to the back. He's like, I'm going to go pack, you know, and so he leaves all dramatic, you know, with his arm up, going to pack. And Mr. Ritter starts chasing Lucy. literally chasing her.
Yeah, more cringe. Yeah.
Yeah, but let's talk about cringe, because Lucy runs away and Miss Lewis comes in, walks in and starts chasing him in the exact same way. And I just find that so funny. Like, he even hides behind the door like Lucy did, and just so funny. And then she does her come hither look again, and he kind of is like,
I like this. Now, see, here's the thing with Mr. Ritter. He's very fickle in the way he falls in love, because just not less than 2 seconds before, he was crazy about Lucy. And so just a little, or Miss Lewis is just that.
Maybe she's just that good. And also maybe he was like, oh, a woman that wants me to.
Yeah.
Come hither.
Yeah.
Do you think they stayed together with how quickly, you know, they
go off together into the sunset
together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they lived happily ever after. We don't see either one of them again, so I think we can in our minds just imagine that.
Yeah.
And then,
so
that's basically the end. They leave together and that's the end of the show. Or the show. That's it.
It's over. Thanks for listening to Having a Ball. It's been a great run. I was looking up information. I know we mentioned how much they gave credit to Edward Everett Horton just for his appearance. But as I was looking up information on him, there was even a street in LA named after him. I had no idea. I was looking at this. This is actually in the Valley. I'm not sure.
What a name, by the way.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
Edward Everett Horton.
Yeah, yeah. And so it was 5500 Edward Everett Horton Lane. I mean, that's a mouthful. But it's interesting how much more he was praised than Bernadette was. Just for making his appearance. But yeah, this one was a little cringe. You know, they get better with the seasons, because even though there was a lot of Ricky's display of you know, machismoism and just his aggressive and possessiveness and all of that, it kind of turns, you know, in some seasons where Lucy is the more aggressive one.
Overall, how do you feel about this episode?
I don't like it. I don't like it. And I think from you know, of course, Lucy does a heck of a job, because she does. But I'm sure if they could go back, they would not have written that. Again, they were playing around with the idea of just having them two. We're missing the other two to make it much more comfortable, to give more lines and much more comedy skits to Vivian and William Frawley. But it's up there with some of the cringe.
Yeah. And episodes. I'm going to go back again to that leading thing, because if you look at it, that's like a common depiction of like love. So you see that, like, I know I've seen it in like Glee, mm-hmm, and High School Musical, and all those like romance comedy where the big burly man or the man in charge kind of like leans up against the locker, and it's supposed to be this like cute, but it's very much like, I'm over you. I'm done. But yeah, I'm just saying that you still see that move a lot.
Yeah.
I've had that move used on me.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. In high school.
Okay.
So it was a while ago, but like, still.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, can I punch you in the gut? No.
Yeah, it's a very it's a show of strength from them, from the bigger man or boy or whoever that's in front of you. This is like the movie Grease. You kind of mentioned that, you know, Glee does something like this, but yeah, it's very much to show possession from the side of the man, and
the woman
basically never looks happy about
being
it.
Okay, right? Like, but the woman's supposed to be like, yeah, this is our right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically them showing their dominance, and the woman being like, okay,
yeah. And today, cool.
I'm
course,
okay with that.
You would not cross the line of not giving the woman that space, you know, because it is your space. And so when someone, you know, falls all over you that way, it can be very intimidating. And I think that's the point of it, I think.
But guys, if you've had this happen to you and you really like it and you're playing the other, not playing, but you enjoy that, let us know. Like, not let us know why you like it, but like,
yeah,
tell us what you think about it. If you agree with us or if you don't, if you're like, no, that's really romantic and I think a man should do that.
Well, you know, everything is really the way that you want to see it, because if you look at romantic comedies, right? Romantic comedies are based on a man chasing a woman until eventually, finally, he gets her, right? And so he follows her at work. He follows her to the, you know, this and that. And there he is. And it's supposed to be.
And there's that romantic. And there's that whole, the woman's just playing hard to get. Or if you ask enough, they'll say yes.
And at the end, that's you finally wore her down. And and so, but in reality, if you're not interested in this person and they show up again at your job or at your home or whatever,
calling the popo,
it's not romantic at all. It's quite creepy. So yeah, it's all, perception for each person. But again, this was, you know, that's why we love rewatching and revisiting these episodes, because they strike conversations that perhaps we never even thought of when we were kids watching this, because
we're just like,
doesn't come to your mind. It's funny. Look how funny he's chasing her around. Wait a minute.
And And I do think they play a good, you know, and like I said, I don't hate this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those ones where there are problems for me, but there's a balance in this one. And I think that's why I don't hate it.
Yeah.
Because there's enough things that I like about it. And there's, you know, that whole meal. I really like that. The whole
the bad meal
sauce and the meal, and she comes out with the burning steaks. We didn't talk about it a whole lot, but the fact that she just douses the whole table in water, like, I love that.
And then just throws the food at him.
Sit down and eat. Like,
it's good. So, now that's funny. That's the comedy that we come for. But
we come for.
Yeah.
So let us know, guys, how you feel about this episode.
Yeah.
And what you liked and disliked about it. If you also share our feelings about maybe not liking this one as much as some of the other ones.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So find us everywhere. We are on all your streaming services. We're on havingaballpod@gmail.com. If you want to send us an email or any recommendations or corrections or anything, or just to say hi, we get some of those too. And we're on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Having a Ball Podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.